Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. This episode we have Netflix 312th film from 2020. It's the Argentine drama Notes for My Son, or El Cuaderno de Tomé. It's directed by Carlos Sorin. It stars Monica Antopoulos, Paolo Parentos, and Valeria Bertuccelli. I'm Jesse, I'm your host. Thanks for joining me for this episode. Another international film. 2020 is the year of international films on Netflix. So this, you may not have heard of this film. I don't think a lot of people have actually seen it. So if you're keen on checking this one out, give us a pause and come back a bit later on, because I'm going to get into it and we will spoil it at various stages. So we do kick the show off with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one's about a woman with a terminal illness who writes a notebook for her son to remember her by. I guess a trigger warning or a spoiler warning or a sadness warning. This deals with terminal illness. So, this is probably going to hit emotional strings on quite a lot of people who have experienced things like this in their own life. And my discussion will too. So, if you haven't seen the film, don't want to hear about it, it's probably time to turn off. But I'm going to get into it and talk about how this one actually ended up on Netflix. So, international film, COVID pandemic at the time. This is actually based on a true story. So it's based on the life of Maria Vasquez, who was a real national phenomenon in Argentina in 2015. And her actual notebook, similar to in the film, so it was called El Cuaderno de Nipu, which is Nipu's notebook. It was published, and 12 months later, it was already into its fourth edition. So a national bestseller sort of book as well. There's a little bit of controversy around this film too, because at the same time in America, there's pretty much the same real sort of life event happening or a very similar sort of story. And the lady in America, her name was Heather McManamy, and she passed away of breast cancer in 2015 and left behind love letters for her family, friends, and her four-year-old daughter, Brianna. She wrote like greeting cards to her daughter as well, labeled for different occasions and milestones that she'd reached throughout her life. And these two were combined and published in a book by McManamy's husband, titled Cards for Brianna, A Mum's Message of Living, Laughing, and Loving as Time is Running Out. So I think the Golden Globes, this film Notes for My Son was put forward, I think, as the Argentine film at the Golden Globe Awards. And there's a little bit of discussion around, is it a mixture of both stories? Who came up with the idea, et cetera, et cetera. In Australia, this film was, Netflix put out their own classification ratings for films in Australia, and then the Australian government, they use a database to work out whether they're on track. In Australia, it was given an MA 15 plus rating for strong themes. So this is a restricted classification in Australia, which is very interesting. So the strong themes, I don't know. For me, this is not really an MA film. I think it's, on that lower end. I think this should be more accessible for more people. In saying that, though, Netflix, obviously, a lot of people do not even worry about the ratings on Netflix and just access whatever they want. But I thought that was an interesting little side note there, too. This was released on the 24th of November 2020 on Netflix worldwide. It was nominated at the International Emmy Awards for Valeria Bertuccelli for Best Performance by an Actress as well. So one nomination there. What are the translations for this film around the world? The original title, so Spanish, El Cuaderno de Tomé, that is Tommy's Notebook in English. So it's the same in Portuguese, French, German, Italian, and Vietnamese. So they've all stuck with the original title. In Japanese, it's called Notebook to You Who I Love. Not bad, not bad. Norwegian, it's called To Tommy from Mum. I like that. That's nice and simple and sweet. And in Swedish, it's called Tommy's Memory Book. So obviously all about the idea of a son being able to remember his mother while she's not there for him to grow up. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? On Rotten Tomatoes, sits at 80%. That's only on 5 reviews, but it is fresh, so solid there. Audience, a little bit higher, 90%. That's on less than 50 ratings, though. Then we head to IMDb, 6.5 out of 10. That's only on 1,000 ratings too, so not a lot of logs for this film. And the same on Letterboxd, it's a 3 out of 5 on a bit over 2,000 ratings and been logged by nearly 3,000 people. So not a lot of people have actually seen this film or gone out of their way to say that they have seen it. What are my early thoughts on this film? This is tough because I didn't know what this was before starting to watch the film, and this was a bit of a hard watch for me, and it probably will be for anyone who's experienced terminal illness and the impact that it can have on people. Like, but in saying that, the film, it's done nicely. It's just distressing at times or sad at times, and it is a hard watch, but a solid film. So let's talk about the characters. So Marie, she's our main character. She's the one who we see early on who's, you know, got the diagnoses, going through all the procedures and in hospital, stuck in hospital, and it's like that countdown until her death. And I guess that tough moment of realizing that you're dying with a young child and trying to come to terms with them growing up without knowing a lot about you. What a horrible thing to have to contemplate. And I guess they do this in a subtle, nice way in that she never loses her personality, her positive outlook, or a sense of humor. And that's a nice thing throughout the film too, I guess. And her husband, Federico, or Fede, super supportive, who seems to sort of be the ideal person you'd want to have with you or have your back and help out whenever you're in a crisis. I mean, he takes care of everything outside that hospital room and also inside that hospital room, so Marie doesn't have to worry about it and can focus on going out the way that she wants to almost. So they're really sweet, and I think they create a really nice connection between those two. Their son, Tommy, he's obviously the youth and the innocence in this film, and he's blind to what's going on with his mum. And that's heartbreaking, but I guess almost what I probably would have liked more from this film. The title of the film is obviously about The Notebook to Her Son, and we get that through voiceovers, but I would have rather seen her spending more time with her son, doing things with her son, or moments with his mum too. So interesting there. And I guess there's a cast of characters or friends and family who visit Marie in the hospital and come in and out. And I guess Maru is probably the closest support for Marie. Her husband, Hernan, they're almost opposites. They both do supportive things, as do all of their friends, but we don't get much from, and I'll probably talk about this in scenes, we don't get too much from them, really. All right, the director, Carlos Saurin, 17 directing credits, all look like they're from Argentina. The biggest one looks like a film called Gone Fishing from 2012, so I haven't heard of him, haven't heard of this film. Maybe this one, Gone Fishing, is worth checking out. The moment where we talk about some scenes that stood out, some ones that I didn't like. So the ones that I enjoyed, I think there's a moment where Marie's waking up in the middle of the night needing to go to the bathroom to vomit, and the nurse comes in, she presses the button, the nurse comes in, trips on Fede, her husband, who's sleeping on the floor. And that's, there's so much in this moment, because we've got the idea that he'll do anything to be with her because he's not supposed to be sleeping on the floor, and her not wanting to wake him up to support, like to help her out because she wants him to get some rest. And then also the nurse who comes in and not making a fuss about Fede sleeping on the floor because he shouldn't be. So just so much in that one little moment that I thought was good. The other, you know, moment that I think was really good was Marie's sort of last moments with her son. Just, you know, that knowing that that's the last time they're going to see each other. And the husband, Fede, he just sort of waits outside the door and allows them to have those moments together without him there or interrupting. And, you know, he stands by that door and stops nurses from going in so that they can have as much time as possible together. And then he finally does go in and sees that they're both asleep in each other's arms. I thought that was a really nice little moment, especially, you know, that mother-son relationship. Things that I didn't like. This is sort of that idea of the whole group of support people there to see her. You know, they all come to see her at once at the start. And I understand it's important to show her support of who she's got around her. But I did find it very full on. And also, they weren't all that important, and we got these one-liners about each and every character in that hospital room about just pretty much their profession, and that's it. Not even necessarily about their connection to Marie or why they're there for Marie or how they know Marie. And, you know, we did get little moments at times throughout to give a little bit more context around the characters, but you know, not enough, and I think probably too many. You could have just focused on the smaller moments and make it more impactful. The other thing that I wasn't a big fan of, the whole TV interview, or the interview on TV where the hospital wouldn't let cameras in, so they did this sort of radio or phone-in interview on the TV. People getting around the TVs in the hospital, in the foyer, the doctors, the nurses, all watching this interview with Marie, you know, big television show. I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me. I mean, there was one funny moment where, you know, they've got the TV on in the room, and when the interview starts on the phone, you get that feedback on the TV. I thought that was funny, but I don't know, I just, that fame idea that came from that, it just sort of felt a bit weird. Anyway, themes, ideas, what's this film trying to say? It's trying to say a lot. I think, and I haven't even mentioned this, but Marie also uses Twitter throughout the film to deal with how she's feeling throughout the film. And I guess that sort of shows the importance of text and words through the journal, through Twitter, to bring back memories and not taking time for granted and celebrating life. And we do get that idea of facing death and what it actually means and not being able to imagine your own death, but owning it, I guess, as your own. And then the back end does deal a little bit about the semantics of hospital system and the legalities around euthanasia, assisted suicide, terminal sedation, dignified death, and the bureaucrats, and, you know, the images of hospitals and well, the image of hospital staff and their, you know, actual hospital, or the function of them as well, because it's the way that they treat patients at times and, you know, talk about, well, don't tell enough information about diagnosis and keeping the real truth from them, and that reliance too on insurance. So a couple of things that were touched on here, which is nice. What did I take away from this film? I sort of touched on this now, but the tweets. So we get the constant tweets Marie was sending throughout her hospital, or throughout her journey as well, on the screen as words at times. And I get that that's part of empowering her own story and who she was and what she was going through. But I'm not sold that, and this is just the filmmaking side of things, I'm not sold that as a visual it helped the narrative at all, because as I've said this, but the film is called Notes to My Son, or, you know, Notes to Tommy. And I wanted more of a focus on those two and the moments between them, or, you know, the journaling of the thoughts. And that, you know, because the tweets were going out to the bigger population and to adults. I really wanted to see that farewell almost to your child that you have to say goodbye to, that, you know, it's heartbreaking even thinking of it. Questions, ponderings, what did I think about this one? I think the notebook, and I'm not, this really was a bit confusing, because the notebook that we see Marie writing in throughout the film, she's writing in the journal in English. I'm intrigued, like, was this, and obviously I watched the film with English subtitles in the original language in Spanish. So, but the words in the journal that she was writing were in English. Like, was this for all releases around the world? Was this, you know, in Argentina, was it English as she was writing in the journal too? Or did they do separate cuts for around the world? I'm intrigued. I thought that was interesting. The idea, I guess, of telling people, and this was an important part of that start of the film, where, you know, if you've got a terminal illness, the worst thing you can have is someone tell you that everything's going to be all right, when it's obviously not. And I think it's such a worthwhile thing to consider. Unless you've actually been in someone else's situation, you can't tell them it's going to be all right, or you can't tell them, oh, I could imagine how you feel. And they're just things that probably, you know, you think that it's the right thing to say to people, but it's not. It makes things even harder. So I think that's a nice little takeaway too. Let's give the film a wrap up. We give the films a rating out of 5 on this podcast. So for me, it is a sad film. The performances are solid, but, you know, as I've touched on, there's probably too many people in and about this film that don't really need to be there. The runtime is already pretty tight, but it could have been tighter, or they could have used this time to give more to Tommy and Marie being together. But it's still a solid film. 3 out of 5 for me. 3 out of 5. We're on socials. We have Instagram, we have Facebook, and we have X, formerly known as Twitter. The question I wanted to put out there for this episode is, when's the right time for Tommy to get this notebook? Like, he's very young in this film, like probably 3 or 4, super young. Like, do you wait until he's a teenager? Obviously, she's written moments throughout that probably, you know, first day of school, first day of secondary high school, those types of things that he probably needs to see. But do you hold it back? I'm not sure. Do you, you know, when are you old enough to understand these words that your mother's putting together? Because they're quite sophisticated thoughts. And, you know, especially this, like, you think about the real life kid, this book, your mum's notes for you have been published to the whole world. Like, it's not necessarily a really, you know, impactful personal thing now that it's your mum writing to you. It's like the whole world knows what your mum was writing to you. So lots of things to think about. We're back again next week. We're back on the Christmas train, the Christmas train next week, because we have another Christmas film from 2020. It's a comedy and it's called The Christmas Chronicles 2, which is directed by Chris Columbus. It stars Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, Darby Camp, Kimberly Williams-Paisley, Jazeera Bruno, Julian Dennison, Tyrese Gibson, Judah Lewis, Sonny Sulick, Darlene Love, and Malcolm McDowell. We did the first film, the first Christmas Chronicles, a few years ago now, so we've got the sequel ready to go. We're getting a few Christmas sequels this year. If you, I don't know, it's not Christmas time, so probably not going to recommend you go watch the film now, but if you have seen it and you're keen on the thoughts, come back next week, and I will see you then.